Hello, golfers.
Hey, golfers here.
This is the 73rd Hole Radio Show with Sam Humphries and Taylor Williams.
I'm Tiger Woods. I'm Tiger Woods.
Sam.
Sponsored by Enjoy Vision, a fresh perspective.
What is good, everybody? Welcome into the 73rd Hole Radio Show, sponsored by Enjoy Vision Masters, Saturday evening edition. We are three-fourths the way through.
98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal, home of Inside Sports with Al Eschbach, weekday afternoons at 6. 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
Thank you, big voice guy. We are, the reason why Big Voice Guy is talking right now is because our time is all messed up. We were supposed to start at 6, but we are not allowed to come on the air until after the conclusion of play. And boy, was the conclusion of play exciting. We'll get into that here in a second. But before I do that, I want to introduce my co-host, two-time state champ, T-Dub Taylor Williams. What's up?
What's up, Sam? Another beautiful day here in Oklahoma, but a beautiful day at Augusta National, a typical back nine that we get every single Masters. Had five players tied for the lead at one point at 6-under, and the leader currently wasn't even one of those guys at 6-under, so it was absolute carnage, and I can't wait to deep dive and talk all about it.
And now it is time to head to Augusta. My dad, the hump man, Craig Humphries, live in Augusta.
The sports animals coverage from Augusta is presented by Johnson's of Kingfisher, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram. Same name, same family since 1927. And brought to you in part by Get Ready to Be Cool This Summer with the $69 AC tune-up from ACS. Make the winning call. Visit aircomfortsolutions.net. Now here's Craig Humphries live from Augusta on the Sports Animal.
And Sam, it certainly wasn't the carnage that we saw yesterday here in Augusta, but I would say, I mean, Colin Morikawa said it very well. He's never seen the course play like this. The wind is still tricking these players. The course is really firmed out here in the last 2 days with all the wind that we had yesterday and today. And today it was just gusting 20 instead of 40, but the gust today still. The wind was very tricky and hard to figure out today. But it wasn't a day of carnage, but it was a day of a lot of leaking oil. And players would fire, and then they would fall back. Then they would fire again. And when all was said and done, Scottie Scheffler is sitting at the top. But, Sam, let's talk about Scottie. He got his day started out with birdies on two of the first three holes. Birdie at one, birdie at three. Gave one back at four. But then he really started giving them back when he got to the second nine, doubles 10, bogeys 11. You're thinking he's coming apart. And then what does he do? He steadies himself with a par at 12, and then he has the eagle at 13 and birdie at 15, and all of a sudden he's in charge of the golf tournament. Did hit it over the 17 green. He hit it right at 17, had to try to play a fade in there, hit it over the green, chip back past about 10 feet and missed the putt. But then he birdies 18, and then I'll let you talk about Bryson and what he did at 18.
Yes, so number one, I do think that Scottie Scheffler was the only guy that really took advantage of the par fives. Obviously, he played him in seven shots, which that'll do, but there was a lot of leaking oil, like you said. It turned into a little bit of a pillow fight around Amen Corner, and we're going to go through each guy. By the way,
talking about the par fives on the second nine for Scheffler.
That's correct. Yeah. Correct. Talking about 13 and talking about 15. A lot of guys messed those two holes up. But I do want to read the leaderboard off. You got Scottie Scheffler at 7-under par through three rounds. He shot 1-under today. Colin Morikawa had the round of the day, 3-under par. And really, it could have been a lot lower. Like, he 3-putted 13. We'll get into that. But Colin Morikawa is solo second place at 6-under par for the tournament. Max Homa is solo third place at 5-under par for the tournament. And then you got Ludvig Åberg, who is solo fourth place at 4-under par. And Bryson DeChambeau is solo fifth place at 3-under par for the tournament. He shot 3-over today. But again, it could have been worse. So, T-Dub, I don't even know where you want to start. We just kind of touched on Scheffler a little bit. There was a time right around when Scottie and Bryson, those two groups, were making the turn, that it looked like the stars Colin Morikawa, he had just three-putted after hitting the green in two on 13. Scotty Scheffler doubles number 10. Bryson starts leaking oil. There was a time where it looked like Nikolai Højgaard and Ludvig Åberg were really the guys that looked steady, and the stars looked like they were the ones leaking oil. But then Åberg and Højgaard made their own mistakes coming down the stretch a little bit too. Homa really couldn't get anything going all day. It just seemed like he kept making tap-in par after tap-in par. But I guess, what are your thoughts on Scheffler to start off with? That kind of laid out his back nine. It was kind of a roller coaster, especially for Scheffler, but he really steadied the round on 13 with a great shot in there to about 30 feet and rolls that in for eagle, and then he makes the birdie at 15 as well. What were your thoughts on Scheffler's round?
It was pretty weird, right? Because when we talked this morning, we kind of all were on the Scotty Scheffler bandwagon, thought he was going to go out and lead this tournament. And you look down, you think, okay, he'd have a one-shot lead going into Sunday. That's kind of about where we prognosticated. But the road that he took to get there was very unique. The chip in on one to get a birdie there, making a fairly long putt on the third hole as well. And then the double that he made on 10 was absolutely atrocious. Hit it long, long left, which is somewhere you cannot go on that hole, especially with that pin location.
By the way, the patrons didn't help very much on that shot. They just did the Olay defense.
Olay.
yeah, they were not of much assistance there. So then he misses another short putt there like he did yesterday on number five to secure a double, and then he bogeys 11 as well, one of the more challenging holes on the course. But then being able to hit that great approach shot in there on 13, actually looked like it was going to be a little bit closer, caught the ridge and went down, but then secured a very good putt there. And then for him to make the birdie like he did on 15, because just about 20 minutes earlier we saw Åberg over there in the exact same spot where he made a bogey. So that was a two-shot difference there, just to your point, Sam, alluding about how much better he played the par fives on the back comparatively to the rest. And then he made a fairly sloppy bogey on 17, but then to be able to come back and finish with a birdie on 18, and 18 was playing as, I believe, the hardest hole today. So, yeah, it played at 0.47 over par. So to be able to get a closing birdie on the hardest hole in the course is definitely something that you want to be able to sleep on going in with the lead of to the final round of the Masters.
I'll tell you guys one thing. I was not expecting Scotty Scheffler to hit his irons the worst out of anybody in the top five today. That was something I did not have on my bingo card. Scotty Scheffler ended up losing a half a shot on the field average with the iron strokes gained approach today. Colin Morikawa today, he got off to a really hot start, made birdies at 1, 2, and 3, did give one back at 6, but got a birdie at 8 and then parred in from there. He parred 9 to 18. Dad, I thought that his round could have been a whole lot lower as well. He just makes pars on 13 after, you know, hitting the green in 2. He had to lay up. He had 260 in on 15, so he didn't really have a chance to go for that one in 2. It just seemed like he was a little bit a part of that pillow fight, even though he did shoot 3 under on the day, and it was the lowest out of anybody at the top of the leaderboard. Colin Morikawa, yeah, he really could have shot like really 5 or 6 under par today, and yeah, he could have had the lead.
He parred his last, 10 holes?
That's correct.
After the birdie, after the birdie at 8. But he started off with three birdies, and he just changed putters here recently, T-Dub. I think a few weeks ago, or was it earlier this week maybe? Or
he changed putters after the first round.
After the first round,
oh,
yes.
After the first round, okay. And I just saw his interview, and he said, well, why not? I mean, try something else. Well, that putter was working when he comes out with three birdies today. And a lot of people will birdie 2 and 3 here at Augusta National, but the birdie at 1 really gives you an opportunity to get off to the flying start. And he did, with birdies on 4 out of the first 8 holes, had the bogey at 6, and then, like we said, pars the last 10 holes. So here's a guy with 2 majors, and we were talking today on the pregame about Max Homa, second shot golf course, tremendous iron player. That's what Max Homa is. That's what Colin Morikawa is also, right?
100% he is. And one thing that's very interesting about him coming into this event and not been on any form whatsoever, his last 3 starts, he finished 75th at Valero Texas Open, finished 45th at the Players, and missed the cut at the Arnold Palmer, where only like 5 players got cut. In all 3 of those events, he lost strokes gained approach. So you're thinking, well, I'm going to go ahead and fade Morikawa going into this week. And – you look at how he's played Augusta in the past. He has finished 10th and 5th the last 2 years and 18th before that, so the course history definitely prevailed. But coming in with no form, he said in his post-round interview that he found a little bit of something with his iron swing on Monday, and it looks like that is starting to pay a little bit of dividends. He actually didn't hit the irons very well today. Hit them better than Scottie Scheffler did, but was right about neutral when it comes to strokes gained iron play. But for the week, Sam, he's gaining more than a shot and a half approach. So whatever he figured out with his swing on Monday is definitely helping out.
No doubt about it. So Scheffler at 7-under, Colin Morikawa at 6-under, Max Homa at 5-under. And, guys, he literally made all pars and one bogey on possibly the toughest par 3 in the world. So what were your thoughts on Max Homa's round? It seemed like he was just tapping in for par on every single hole. He hit the ball nice in my eyes. He just couldn't really get those birdie putts to drop when he did have opportunities. And then a lot of times he wasn't even giving himself great birdie looks all day, it seemed like.
But T-Dub, I watched a lot of his round today through at least the first 12 holes, and he had, I thought, great looks at like 8 and 9 and 11, at least a makeable putt at 11. You know what I'm saying, T-Dub? And then 12, he hits it over the green. I didn't think that chip shot was that tough at 12, and he's chipping from behind the green. It's a, you know, front left hole location, and he chipped it all the way almost to the front fringe and missed about a 10-footer for par at number 12. But like Sam said, parred everything else. But I just thought it was a day of missed opportunities for Homa. I thought he played better than a 73.
It really was, especially early in the round. He definitely had some opportunities to get a birdie on the board and wasn't able to do that. He did make a nice par save on 13. He had to lay up, and then he hit a really bad wedge shot, leaving it above the hole, which is something you cannot do to that pin location, where everyone who was above there was hitting it at least 5 or 6 feet by. So he made a really good par save there, but then had a layup on 15, hit a really solid layup in there, had a good chance to get a birdie there as well, and was not able to do it. So yeah, just some missed opportunities there, but was able to limit the mistakes. Only one bogey around the course. You would definitely take that, especially when you don't have any doubles in there. So, you know, Sam, for someone like Max Homa, who's not played the Masters particularly very well at all through his career, his best finish in his four starts was tied for 43rd. If you would have told him with one round to go he was only going to be two shots back, even though he went birdie-free this round, I think he would have taken it.
No, and he definitely has a chance to win. If he hits the ball like he has the first 3 days and gets the putts to drop, I like Max Homa's chances, kind of, because that name Scheffler at the top of the leaderboard scares you. But at the same time, if he just consistently gives himself some of those birdie looks, he'll make those. And I think it's a different Homa this week that's a little more confident in his game than we've seen in the past. A little more Mamba mentality. Like, I don't care what other people think anymore. I'm just going to go out here and succeed. Unfortunately, sometimes the putts just don't fall. So Max Homa's in third at 5-under. Ludvig Åberg is in fourth at 4-under par, and he was playing an absolutely flawless round up until 14. So Ludvig Åberg made birdies at 2, 5, 9, and 13. Then he bogeys number 14, and then on 15, hits a beautiful drive. It's a beautiful second shot, you know, that runs through the green. It's a hard green to hold, and he just flubs the chip shot, right? And then ends up not getting that next chip up and down. I think he actually putted the next one, didn't get that up and down. And so he ends up making a 6 on number 15, but then pars in. Ludvig Åberg was extremely impressive today in his, let me say it again, Dad, his first major championship. Unbelievable.
T-Dub, talk about Ludvig Åberg. This guy is just so impressive. It just seems like technically he's exactly what, you know, if you could build a golfer in a laboratory to compete in this day and age, it looks like it might come out looking a lot like Ludvig because this guy is just so impressive. Every time I've seen him this week, and I didn't get to see much of his second 9 today, and like Sam said, the bogeys at 14 and 15, I mean, he's 4-under through 13. He had the best round yesterday with a 69. Looked like he might have the best round today until his problems at 14 and 15. But talk about Åberg. I mean, you guys have talked about him a lot on your podcast. Texas Tech won every award in college, right, T-Dub? Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus, Player of the Year, also the Fred Haskins and so forth. And then he – you know, a year ago at this time, he's getting ready to play the Big 12 championship. And then by the end of November, I mean, he's already won the RSM. He won in Switzerland in September. He's in the top 30 by the end of 2023. and now he's in the top 10 in the world, even and played in the Ryder Cup in Italy, by the way, all before his first major, which is this week. I think it's an incredible story.
Well, luckily for us who have covered Big 12 golf around here the last few years, definitely know how much talent that Ludwig has. He's one of the best players that I've ever seen at the age that he has, and he's come out and absolutely took the world by fire since he's joined the PGA Tour. He's the sixth player analytically on Data Golf, which with how much professional golf that he's played is absolutely crazy. He's top 10 in the official world golf rankings as well, even as skewed as their system is. That is impressive. And as you mentioned, he had all the accolades coming up. He's kind of the Victor Wembanyama almost of what the PGA Tour has turned into now. And even today, it's going to be a shame. He's going to look back on 14 and 15 and be kicking himself for sure. Because on 14, he hit the ball just a little bit long of the flag. It was to back flag, but then he tried to putt it through the fringe, left it about 5 feet short, and then missed that little putt. And then hit a great three wood from the middle of the fairway on 15, just past the green, exactly where Scottie Scheffler was, where Scheffler was able to make a birdie. And then Aubert left it short still in the fringe and then hit it kind of closer down where Scheffler made his birdie putt. And then he, Aubert, missed that par putt. So had he been able to just make those two other short putts, he'd be at 6 under tied with Morikawa. That also would have got him in the final group as well. So, yeah, Aubert's, it's those are the kind of things you see the first time at a Masters, or in this case, first time in a major. You're going to make those small little mistakes, even as good as you were playing throughout the course of these 54 holes. Those things are going to add up when you're playing against the likes of a Scottie Scheffler.
Don't count him out, though. He's only 3 shots back. I'll never forget the first time I saw Ludwig Åberg. Back then, he was Ludwig Åberg, and he was playing with Quade Cummins at Prairie Dunes in the Big 12 Championship, and we were out there trying to cover Austin Eckroat, or everybody basically on OSU back then, but Quade Cummins, you know, all the great OU players, and then Cole Hammer was with Texas, and really Texas Tech was just the other group, other than the other team, other than Texas, OU, and OSU, and Quade Cummins is paired with Ludwig Åberg, and I'm going, who the heck is this guy? He was a freshman at Texas Tech, and T-Dub can attest, he was walking with me, I'm going, this kid is unbelievable. So I think we didn't discover him, but we knew about him before a whole lot of other people did, T-Dub.
Well, I just saw him hit some drives there at Prairie Dunes, and just the ball speed and the sound that came off the club. I said, who in the world is this kid? Some kid from Texas Tech. I mean, who is this guy? And all of a sudden now, a few years later, he's a top 6 player in the world. And then today, just to point that point on how well of his swing is and how good of a ball striker he is, today in the third round, he gained 1.77 shots off the tee, and he gained almost 3.5 shots approach. So to do that in the Saturday of a major championship, your first one to hit the ball that good, very, very impressive.
No doubt about it. Now, let's get to the guy in solo fifth place, Bryson DeChambeau. What a roller coaster it was, especially on the back nine. So on the front nine, Bryson makes a bogey at 3, gets it back with a birdie at 8, and then bogeys number 9, but then he gets it right back with a birdie at 10. You're thinking, yeah, here goes Bryson. He gets a birdie at 10, thinking this is looking pretty good for Bryson. Well, then he makes about every single mistake from Amen Corner on, traditional mistakes. Like, he almost hit it in the water on 11, but then 3-putted. 12, he hits it long left of the green, tries to putt it through the fringe, blasts it, you know, about 10 feet by, and doesn't make that one coming back. 13, fellas, what'd he do on 13, T-Dub? I can't remember right now.
He hit it right in the middle of the green.
That's right, he three-putted. Him and Colin Morikawa both three-putted on 13.
The speed of his putting killed him, and that's, like you said, Sam, the speed of the putt at 11, he putted it from the fringe at 12, but he didn't get the speed right there, and he didn't get the speed right at 13.
You're exactly right, Deb. But then he did get it back with a birdie, a great putt at 14. From about 20 feet just left of the pin. Then he gets up to 15, and what's the one place a long hitter cannot hit it off of 15 tee box? You can't hit it left. You're going to be blocked out by those two giant pine trees on the left, and it kind of prevents you from going for it. But Bryson, knowing Bryson, he's not going to lay up. He tries to hook this four iron way around the trees. It doesn't hook. He goes over to the right, over by the grandstands, right of the right bunker on 15. And, fellas, he just caught it fat and hits it in the water.
Third shot.
Just caught it chunky.
And it caught the slope and rolls down left into the water.
That's exactly right. So he doubles number 15, bogeys 16, and then on 18, we're skipping 17, he pars 17. On 18, he hits it in the jungle, like in the middle of jail, over to the right of 18.
Deep in jail.
Deep in jail. He has to just, his only option was to pitch out into the fairway, I don't know, T-Dub, how far, 100 yards?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And cans it for birdie. So Bryson
maybe
DeChambeau
a little further than that, yeah.
Yeah, so Bryson DeChambeau shoots 3 over 75, and he sits 3 under for the golf tournament, 4 back of Scottie Scheffler. T-Dub, what were your thoughts on Bryson's roller coaster today?
Well, that's the perfect way to put it. It was the definition of up and down. On the final 11 holes, he went bogey, birdie, birdie, bogey, bogey, par, birdie, double, bogey, par, birdie. He made 2 pars in 11 holes, and luckily he did make the 4 birdies in there to help him out. But today on the greens, which was different than the first few days, on the first round he gained almost 4 shots on the greens, and yesterday he was neutral on the greens but not extremely a large amount, and today, guys, he lost almost a shot and a half on the greens, so that was definitely something that was holding him back. So every single day he's gotten progressively a little bit worse on the greens, but if you're going to hold it out from 100 and something yards, whatever it was, on 18 for birdie, that definitely helps. And just to put in perspective how monumental that was, most of the time, even if you don't get that up and down, that's a 2-shot difference, so he would have made bogey instead of birdie. That puts him down at 1 under, 6 shots back. Now he's only 4 shots back. I get that Scottie Scheffler is on one of the best runs that we've seen over the last few months, but it's being 4 instead of 6 shots back is such a big difference in the opportunity to win this tournament, it's not even funny.
And it's a course management mistake at 15. It's not that bad. I mean, it's to the left, like Sam said, but if you just take your medicine, lay up, you're probably going to make par. You might birdie the hole, but par is probably the worst that you're going to make, and he ends up with double. So it cost him at least 2 shots, maybe 3 shots right there. And like T-Dub said, you're only 4 shots out of the lead.
No, you guys are exactly right. The last guy I want to touch on before this break is Xander Schauffele. Xander today went bogey-free, 2 under par. He shot even par in his first 2 rounds. Remember, he battled back in the first round after bogey number 1 and number 4. And then in the second round, just made 2 bogeys and 2 birdies. Today, he eliminated those bogeys and made 2 birdies, 1 birdie on number 3 and 1 birdie at number 13. An extremely solid round in those conditions today, T-Dub. They weren't as tough as yesterday, but it was crispy out there. And Xander Schauffele, I mean, don't sleep on him. He's tied for 6th, 2 under par right now. Right now he's 5 shots back of Scottie Scheffler. At least Xander Schauffele gave himself a chance to catch up to Scottie Scheffler today. And going bogey-free at Augusta National today is really, really unbelievable golf from Xander Schauffele.
Schauffele's just kind of been going under the radar since this tournament started, right? Because he bogeys the first hole and bogeys the fourth hole on Thursday. So he's 2 over 3, 4, and a lot of people pick Schauffele going into this week. So they're thinking, oh, man, well, now he's out of it. Well, then he proceeds to get it back at even in the first round. And then yesterday he does 2 birdies, 2 bogeys, as you alluded to. And then today goes bogey-free. So you think about it. Ever since he bogeyed 2 out of the first 4 holes, he's only made 2 bogeys since that point. That is
crazy.
That's exceptionally great golf with how tough that the course has been playing. And I will say this. We've ripped Schauffele numerous, numerous times about how he's not able to have the minerals that he needs to under pressure. If Schauffele was ever going to win a major, it's going to be just like this, where he's 5 shots back going in the final round. He goes out, shoots a low one tomorrow to go out and put some pressure on the guys out in front, and then Scheffler, Morikawa, those guys kind of come back to the pack. So for the traditional people who have watched Xander Schauffele play golf and would think that he could win a major, this is a perfect opportunity for him to get it done.
And, Dad, the only guy that putted better than Xander Schauffele today was Nikolai Højgaard, who, by the way, was 3 under par on his round through 10 holes and then made bogeys at 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. 5 straight bogeys for Nikolai Højgaard, and he still gained 3.19 shots on the field on the greens. Talking about Nikolai Højgaard, that's how good he was putting before that bad stretch around Amen Corner.
Well, going back to Xander real quick, we've said this all week, 26 career major starts. He has 19 top 20s and 26 career major starts, 6 top 5s, 11 top 10s. It's amazing the consistency of this guy in majors. And even here at Augusta National, tied for 2nd behind Tiger back in 2019, this is his 7th Masters, so in his first 6 Masters, you know, top – top 10 in three out of the last 5 years, tied for third in 2021, all right? If you look at the U.S. Open, top seven in five of his seven U.S. Open starts. So this guy is, and he's already played in two Ryder Cups, two Pro Cup, won an Olympic gold medal. He's done about everything but win a major. And so, yeah, don't sleep on him.
No doubt about it. Fellas, we need to hit a break here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show. Taylor Williams with me as always. We got Craig Humphreys live from Augusta. This is Sam Humphreys. Stay with us after the break. We're going to talk Nikolai Højgaard a little bit more and then dive into what Tiger Woods did today. And unfortunately, I think his body broke down on him again. We will update you on Tiger and everything else going on in Augusta after the break here on Oklahoma's Leader in Golf, the 73rd Hole Radio Show, sponsored by Enjoy Vision. And we are back here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show. Sam Humphreys, Taylor Williams, Craig Humphreys live in Augusta. Fellas, if Colin Morikawa were to win tomorrow, he would join this list of golfers who have won a Masters, a U.S. Open, and an Open Championship. Jordan Spieth, Gene Sarazen, Tom Watson, Gary Player, Ben Hogan, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus three times, and Tiger Woods three times. And that is my transition into what we saw from, in my opinion, the GOAT today. Now, unfortunately, he shot the highest score that he's ever shot at Augusta National today, TW. He shot 10 over 82, talking about Tiger Woods. It was a struggle, and unfortunately, Taylor, Tiger's body broke down on him again, and it wasn't the leg. To me, it was the back. And I don't know if you saw the video of him putting the Icy Hot or the ointment on his lower back yesterday, but he had that back wrapped up like he was a mummy yesterday. And it's just, people don't realize how hard it is to walk 72 holes. And it just seems like it's becoming a trend that something on Tiger's body breaks down, you know, around the halfway point. We saw it at Southern Hills after he made the cut there and really grinded to make the cut there. Last year at Augusta National, same thing. Had to withdraw. Today, he does not withdraw, but he does shoot an 82 at Augusta. And really, I mean, like the drive on 8 especially, it just looked like his back was extremely excruciating for him today. It just seemed like he was not able to finish his swing. Now, sometimes it kind of comes and goes. Back spasms are weird. Like some of the shots he hit, he looks okay, but other shots he hits, it looks like the back is spazzing up on him. And unfortunately, he just had that left miss because he wasn't able to, you know, swing all the way through the ball.
That's correct, Sam. Yeah, it was not a good day for Tiger Woods or Tiger Woods fans who are watching him play, which was disheartening because he goes out and he's even par through five holes, makes a great birdie on number five. It was, I believe there was only two other birdies on that hole all day. There was only three total, so really good for Tiger to make a birdie there. But he had a pretty poor bogey on four. He was just a little bit short of the green. He was still putting and hit a horrible lag putt, left it above the hole, and then missed that putt. And then six, he did a very similar thing, was just past the hole, left the putt short, and then left it down. He had a lot of putts today that really didn't have much of a chance to go in. A lot of short putts that he's real tentative on, left him low and to the right, wasn't really releasing the putter very much. So yeah, after he did that on six, then he doubles seven, doubles eight, bogeys nine, hits a really good shot into 10, but doesn't make the putt, has a pretty solid up and down on 11 as well. But then bogeys 12, birdies 13, makes a really good putt there, actually. But then bogeys four holes in a row, 14, 15, 16, and 17 coming in. So you're exactly right, Sam. Looks like the body's starting to windle down on him a little bit. It's just going to be hard to see a world where Tiger's going to be able to keep the body fully healthy for 72 holes. I think that that's something that we're all going to have to live with at this point, unfortunately. Hopefully I'm wrong, but at least at this point, it was great to see him on a weekend at least continue that cut streak, and maybe we'll go out and see him tomorrow, see what he has to offer. And hopefully it's a little bit better today, because 82 is not something that Tiger Woods want to sign up for. But at least he didn't withdraw, kept it going. But today, analytically, he lost almost two shots off the tee, lost 2.5 shots around the greens, and lost almost 3.5 shots putting. So almost every single aspect of his game was terrible. He did gain a little bit of shots when it came to the iron, so that's halfway promising. But every single other aspect of his game, Sam, was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I want to echo what T-Dub said about, you know, around the green and putting. And because the start, yeah, he didn't birdie number two. But, you know, it was the bogey at number four that started this round, you know, going downhill. Because, as T-Dub said, he hit it to the front of the green. And so he puts it up the hill. I just think he misread that putt, but he pushed. He was expecting a big breaker to the left, and you know, part of it is he just hit it through the break, but he hit it way right of the hole and above the hole, and just very tentative coming down. And so that three putt there from, you know, maybe just off the green at four, you know, now he did birdie five. I cut straight from 4 to 6. I didn't see the birdie at five, but then at six, as T-Dub said, hit a nice the pin's back left. You just can't carry it all the way back there because these greens are so firm right now. It just took a big bounce, and it's just, I mean, like 1 yard over the green, just over. So he's putting from the back fringe, but coming off four where he had gunned it by the hole, now he's tentative, and he leaves it 4 feet above the hole, so another tentative putt, and now he has bogeyed four and six, the two par threes. Then at seven, just faded it a little too much. And, you know, so he's down the tree line on the right side at seven. So now you're going to try to have to manufacture, you know, some fade in there. But with the overhanging tree limbs, you know, it's going to be questionable. Well, so he didn't fade it enough, and he leaves it hanging out left, caught a tree on the left side. Well, now he's short and left to a narrow green with elevated green with a bunch of bunkers. And he fats it into the bunker, and then he doesn't get it up and down. So that now he has bogeyed seven. So bogeys on two par threes that he could have parred easily, and now he's doubled seven. And then he doubled eight and bogeyed nine, and the round is downhill from there, Sam.
Do you guys think this is a trend, or do you think it's just a coincidence that it seems to happen where he just gives it his all the first 2 days to make the cut, and then it just seems like the back or the leg or something always breaks down on him? Is this just what Tiger's going to be from now on? Do you think we'll see him at Valhalla, T-Dub?
I think we will see him at Valhalla. Hopefully that's the case. We won't see him before then. He's not going to play. If he's not going to play a tournament leading up to the Masters, he's not going to play a tournament leading up to really any of the other majors. So I think that the last few years he hasn't. When's the last time that he played four majors? It's been quite a while since that has occurred in the same year. So hopefully he will be able to do that this year. That's going to be the thing that we all root for. Hopefully he can go out tomorrow and show that he is a little bit somewhat healthy. We talked about this morning about how yesterday his ball speed numbers didn't really decrease as much as the day went along, but you could tell today that he was definitely a little bit sore. I think that the 23 holes that he played yesterday was definitely weighing on his body. I think he needed a little bit more time to rest. So yes, I think that is going to be what holds him back, Huntman, going forward. Is His body can only play so many holes right now in competitive level. And unfortunately, 72 of them, when you're playing against the likes of the best players in the world, even as much as he knows Augusta National, it's going to be a tough test for him, because also, too, he is 48 years old. He is not getting any younger either.
Yeah, we're seeing again this week, you got to play competition to get yourself ready physically to play majors. And yeah, we're seeing it. I mean, we've seen it at the Masters now for a number of years. He's made 24 straight cuts here. But it's hard to complete 72 holes in a major when you've only played one round of competitive golf, only finished one round of competitive golf before this week.
But this was a successful week in terms of making the cut. Now he has 24 consecutive made cuts. He did miss one and then make one if you're going backwards before that, but 24 consecutive made cuts from 97 to the present. That is a Masters record. Other Masters records that Tiger Woods holds: youngest champion, 21 years, 3 months, and 14 days. Jordan Spieth was also 21, but Tiger was younger. That obviously came back in 1997. Largest margin of victory, 12 shots in 97, obviously. Most consecutive birdies at Augusta, Tiger holds that with 7 in 2005 in the third round from holes 7 to 13. And he also holds the lowest middle 36 holes, hole scoring record at 131. Woods did that twice, once in 97 and once in 2005. Fellas, I mean, obviously, what can we say? Tiger Woods is the greatest of all time. I just hate watching Tiger struggle to finish golf tournaments. I really do. And before the season, he said he was going to play 6 times this year if he's healthy, this summer if he's healthy. That means that two of the major championships he's trying to play in, he's playing without a lead-up tournament going into it. So, in my opinion, I think that Tiger should not play in major championships unless he plays a lead-up event to get ready for it, because either his golf game's going to break down, because there's a whole big difference between playing competitive golf and tournament golf, or his body's going to break down like we saw at Southern Hills, the Masters last year, and unfortunately the Masters this year. He just didn't withdraw this time yet.
Well, the thing about it that's disheartening is, at least for Tiger, is that he's shown signs of brilliance. It's not that he's lost his game to this point. That's not the problem. The problem is the body staying healthy. So if he, what in his opinion, he says that if he can find just a little bit, he can just find 1 week where he can keep the body somewhat healthy, make a few putts here or there, he can get it around Augusta National and have a chance to win this tournament. That's what he sees. The problem is that the body just won't let him do it. He's been through too much. Even before he almost had to amputate, like he had all the back stuff. He had how many ever knee surgeries that he's had? I remember going all the way back to like the early 2000s, he had knee surgeries going on. He had the training with the Navy SEALs where he messed everything up. He's definitely put that body through a lot of tests, and unfortunately it's caught up with him. But, you know, us Tiger fans, it does only take 1 week for him to show a little bit of brilliance. The problem is that trying to keep everything going for the length of a tournament is just going to be hard, because it's so, people don't realize how excruciatingly hard on the body it is to walk 18 holes a day and just swing all that, let alone 72 holes through the course of the tournament, plus all the practice rounds you're doing, trying to get ready for the tournament. It's just asking a lot for him at this point in his career. Hopefully he can be like the late, great Toby Keith, not as good as I once was, but as good once as I ever was at some point. Unfortunately, it just wasn't this week.
Yeah, and well, Dad, I mean, his age,
of course, is playing that tough, too, at age 48, and let's be honest. I mean, his wasn't the only 82 today. There were
no,
that's
a good point.
I mean, there's a lot of guys shooting high numbers the last couple of days.
No, that's a good point. But his age says 48. But, for instance, if you're thinking, oh, well, Phil Mickelson won a major championship over the age of 50, Phil's body was in so much better shape than Tiger Woods' is. I mean,
not even close.
Just talking about all the injuries that Tiger's had. Unfortunately, Tiger shoots 10 over 82 today. We'll see what he does tomorrow, and we'll see, headed into the PGA and the U.S. Open and the Open Championship, what Tiger Woods we get, if we get one at all. Fellas, we got to hit a break. We're going to come back for one more segment since we got a late start here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show. Sam Humphries, Taylor Williams, Craig Humphries live in Augusta. When we come back, we're going to make predictions for tomorrow and wrap up Masters Saturday here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show, sponsored by Enjoy Vision. Go to enjoywithme.com. That's N-J-O-Y withme.com. Enter promo code SAM400 and save $400 off of LASIK in Oklahoma City. Like I said, Sam Humphries, Taylor Williams, Craig Humphries. We'll be back right after this short break. And we are back here for one final segment on the 73rd hole Saturday at the Masters edition, sponsored by Enjoy Vision. Sam Humphries, Taylor Williams with you as always, and we are joined by Craig Humphries down in Augusta. Fellas, the tee times are out for tomorrow. The leaders are going off at 1:35 Central Time, 2:35 Eastern Time. Scottie Scheffler and Colin Morikawa. You also have Ludvig Åberg and Max Homa going off at 1:25. DeChambeau and Schauffele going off at 1:15. You got Cam Davis and Nikolai Højgaard going off at 1:05. You got Ben On and Cam Smith going off at 12:55. I'm looking for Tiger Woods here. What time?
I got him right here,
Tiger
Sam.
Tiger goes off at 8:35 a.m. So
guess who he's playing with? He is playing with the amateur, Neil Shipley, playing with Tiger. So what a cool experience for an amateur to play with the greatest of all time.
Imagine that, Dad. An amateur from Ohio State, Neil Shipley, who looks like a fun guy to hang out with, right? I mean, he has the full-on Cam Smith mullet. Yeah, it looks like maybe like a golfer version of, you know, young Jim Traber, right? And so Neil Shipley playing with Tiger Woods tomorrow. What are your thoughts on not only Tiger's pairing with the amateur, but also those final groups, and how do you think that that'll make a difference considering who these guys are playing with at all?
I saw Shipley play a few holes with Åberg the other day and actually hit it past Åberg at number five. Åberg hit it well right down the middle, and Shipley hit a power fade just by him. So that's interesting. Shipley also shot 80 today. The Tigers 82.
Beat Tiger by two. You can tell that story for the rest of your life. You just don't have to mention what you shot.
Yeah, exactly. But what was your question, Sam? I'm sorry, I forgot.
I know the pace of play, especially in Bryson's group, was slow today. Do you think that will affect Shoffley, who is known to be not necessarily the fastest player in the world? He's pretty meticulous, too. Max Homa and Ludvig Åberg playing behind those guys, and then obviously Scotty and Morikawa in the last group. What are your thoughts on those pairings?
Yeah, DeChambeau can be really, really slow. Of course, he tried to speed play on 18 by helling out that third shot. But I don't know, guys. I'm just getting the feeling that we might see. I know I said this morning I'll go with Scheffler. He was my second choice since Rory went down the tubes. Rory did bounce back with an under par round today. Again, the scoring was really tough today again, guys. I mean, Chris Kirk shot. He did have the round of the day, we do need to mention, with the 4-under par round. So that gets him to one over for the tournament. But that came very early from Chris Kirk. But among the leaders, Morikawa had the best round at minus three again today. So this course is playing really, really tough. But I'm telling you, and maybe part of me is just pulling for this, but I'm looking at that Homa Åberg pairing in the next last group tomorrow. I would love to see one of those guys put pressure on the final group. We see it happen all the time. T-Dub, talk about the pressure of playing in the final group. Because I'm talking in the third or fourth round. And I thought that we saw again today with DeChambeau and Homa in the final group. I know that Homa didn't blow up. DeChambeau kind of blew up for a while, and then he did hold that shot at 18. But I thought he was leaking big-time oil. But the pressure in a major, to me, and I've seen this over and over and over again over the years, the final pairing, it doesn't matter the first 2 days. I mean, you got flip-flop pairings. But on Saturday and Sunday, it seems like, especially when these guys make the turn, even in the third round, the pressure starts to build in that final group. I know just playing right up ahead shouldn't make that much of a difference, but I've seen it happen time and time and time again, and I'm wondering how much of that will wear on two guys with great experience like Scheffler and Morikawa tomorrow, T-Dub.
Well, we go back and think about it. What was it now, 13 years ago, where Rory McIlroy had an epic collapse on the back nine. Jordan Spieth did the same thing in 2016 to Danny Willett. There's been other players who have obviously done it in the past. So not only do you have the emotions that you have of just going to go out and try to win a major championship, win the Masters, but just how tough that the course has played so far this week, I think that it's going to allude to be playing. And traditionally on Sunday, they're going to have a little bit more favorable pin locations on a lot of occasions, but I still expect it to be pretty gnarly out there. Then you have the situation of, like, for example, when Spieth had his collapse, he had such a big lead, you're thinking about, well, you want to not lose it as opposed to go out and win it. So that's kind of the mind state that go in there. Whenever you're some of these guys like Homa and Åberg out there two and three back, you have to realize, you have to try not to force it early in the round, because if they're within the two to three shots heading into the back nine tomorrow, they're going to be sitting pretty. So as nice as it would be to go out and try to make some early birdies to put a little bit of momentum on Scottie Scheffler, you go out and you could birdie two and birdie three, that would be exceptional. Even just one under through three, I think you could be able to move up a little bit in the rankings. But then on the contrary to that, if Scheffler or Morikawa, if they go out and they go out and make some early birdies, that would make a little bit of pressure there as well. But we say it every single year, Sam, this tournament doesn't start until the back nine on Sunday, and I think it will be the case again this year.
No, you're exactly right. And what causes nerves? What causes pressure? Expectations. Now, tomorrow, you got one group, which is the final group, playing for legacy, right? Colin Morikawa going for his third major. He would be two majors ahead of Scottie Scheffler, and Scheffler going for his second major championship. Those are legacy-defining days for both of those two guys in the final group. That means that, in my opinion, Max Homa and Ludvig Åberg are in pretty good spots. Now, that's not factoring in the fact that Scottie Scheffler has proven to be a stone-cold killer when it comes to, you know, finishing out golf tournaments, and, you know, even in tournaments that he's not putting very well, he makes those clutch putts at key times. We've seen that, whether it be the Players or Bay Hill or whatever tournament you want to say, the Masters when he won it. Legacy-defining days, though, do tend to add a little bit of extra pressure on golfers. We even saw it, like you mentioned, with Rory McIlroy when no one would have expected that, Dad. So I'm not predicting that Scottie Scheffler is going to crumble under that pressure, that Colin Morikawa is going to crumble under that pressure, but I am saying be wary of the bad mojo just kind of trying to play, you know, match play against a guy when one guy's going for three majors, one guy's going for two, and then some guy like Ludvig Åberg just slips in there and wins the golf tournament. Do you see what I'm saying, Dan?
Yeah. No, I got you. And Scheffler, as good as Scotty is, you know, he doesn't win every time he's in contention, finished second in the 2023 PGA, third in the 23 U.S. Open. You know, even in the tournament coming in, you know, I mean, in his last appearance in Texas before the Masters this year, he's not going to win all of them.
Right. At the Houston Open, you're mentioning the putt that he missed on 18 as well. Yeah.
Yeah. The Houston Open. Yeah. And so, yeah, even though all that he has going for him, and the guy is great, and he won at Bay Hill, and he won the Players this year, and he won the you know, PGA Tour Player of the Year the last 2 years, you know, still, he doesn't win them all. I mean, he's just won the one major so far, right, T-Dub?
What do the numbers say, T-Dub, as far as just analytics?
So the percentages of chances to win tomorrow's tournament based on data golf, Scottie Scheffler is a 55.2% chance. Colin Morikawa is just above 20% chance. So you add that up, the analytics say there's a 75% chance that the winner will come out of the final group. That's three times out of four. I expect that to be probably what you look for. I can't remember the exact number that they said on the broadcast, but they said that how many of the last champions of Augusta have been within four shots of the lead coming in. So if you look at that at the golden mark, you'll have Scheffler, Morikawa, who's one back, Homa's two back, Auberg's three back, Bryson is four back based on his hole-out birdie on the last hole. I mean, if you want to go ahead and throw in the likes of a Schauffele, Højgaard, and Cameron Davis, I'd go ahead and say that potentially they could have a chance if Schauffele, as I alluded to earlier, goes out and has a solid Sunday, can kind of backdoor it. He has a 2.2% chance to win. Bryson's at 3.6% chance. So definitely the analytics are favoring that it's going to come down to essentially Scheffler and Morikawa. I guess if you add up Homa and Åberg, you get it at about 15% chance. So, yeah, very, very heavily that it will be. I mean, I'm going to throw Morikawa in there because it's 20% chance, but the analytics definitely heavily favor Scheffler.
Right. As you were talking right there, I was listening to Max Homa. Max Homa was literally just now asked what he'll do tonight and about how excited he is for tomorrow. And he said, quote, "I'm going to remind myself I'm a dog and I'm ready for this moment." That kind of mirrors what I've seen so far in this golf tournament. I know the putts didn't fall today for Max Homa, but I have seen a little bit more cool, calm, and collected Max Homa out there at Augusta National this week. I've talked about it all week. I just thought it was ironic that he just mentioned that in his post-round press conference, Dad.
Hey, Sam, I met his wife today. Triple J and I were in the stands behind number eight following he and DeChambeau, and she just came up at the last second, sit down on the row in front of us and so forth, and she was talking to a gentleman in front of us and saying how Max had hit it left on number eight, and she said he promised me he wouldn't hit it left on this hole, and he did. but he still had a birdie opportunity there. That's what I was saying. I mean, he let some birdie opportunities slip away in that round. And I asked her if, you know, she knew Taylor Gooch, and, of course, because I knew the answer, Gooch and Homa, very good friends. You've met him. I mean, he lives out in Scottsdale and throws a New Year's party. Taylor Gooch got you into that 1 year, Sam. Max Homa is just one of the more popular guys on this tour, right? Very active on social media, right, Sam?
No, there's no doubt about that. But T-Dub, he hasn't necessarily come up big when the lights are the brightest, and I feel like this is his first real opportunity to prove to people, I'm not just a likable guy, I'm a damn good golfer too, right, T-Dub?
100%, this is his chance to go out and get that major. You look at how he's done in his other – we talk about how he hasn't played very well in the Masters, 43rd being his best finish. He's only finished 10th and 13th. There's his two best major appearances, and he has upwards of – I'm not going to count them all here – roughly about 15 to 20 of them. So, yeah, not extremely great for Max Homa. And one thing that I do find halfway alarming is we talk about today not having a birdie. He hasn't made a birdie since the fourth hole yesterday, where he made that very nice putt that he made on four. So what is that? He went 18 holes today, and then he went 14 holes yesterday. So that's 32 straight holes now without a birdie. That is a little bit alarming because even though it's playing as tough as it is, Huntman, I don't expect Scottie Scheffler and Morikawa to fall back too much. If Homan wants to go out and win this tournament, he is going to have to make some birdies.
And we got to say, normally they set it up for scoring on Sunday. They'll put the pins in some lower places, you know, like to the back left of 16 and so forth. They'll have the eagle pin probably to the right of number two, right T-dub. You go around the course. Then with the warm weather, the wind I think might be a little lighter than today. But they do invite. At least they'll give you the opportunity. Now, they'll also invite you to gamble, and it can go the other way, too, on that. But I would predict that we would see some lower rounds tomorrow than we've seen the last couple of days.
One story that we haven't touched on yet on this show, we touched on it earlier on in the week, that might even trump the golf tournament tomorrow, is Vern Lundquist is retiring after he does his job tomorrow in the tower on 16. He had a great quote today on TV, Dad. I know you were out there, so you didn't hear it. But when Bryson, you know, was struggling on 15, made the double on 15, and then bogey 16, Vern said, quote, "Not only have the wheels come off, the rims have fallen." You know, so I thought it was a great quote from Vern Lundquist. Still doing it, even though he only has one more day of work left. But, Dad, I know you talked about this earlier on in the week, but I love hearing you talk about one of the greats of all time in the booth.
I love Vern. Brooksy even gave me a text earlier in the week. He was in Dallas early in Vern's career. I think Brooksy was working with a CBS affiliate. Vern was with an ABC affiliate at that time. He was the voice of the Dallas Cowboys from 67 to 84, broke through nationally with ABC Sports from 74 to 81. Since 82, he worked at CBS, except for a two-year stint from 95 to 97 with TNT. But we know him for golf, but college football, like from 2000 to 2016, lead play-by-play announcer for the SEC on CBS, first worked with Todd Blackledge, then with Gary Danielson in the booth. He was behind the mic for the kick six during the 2013 Iron Bowl between Alabama and Auburn. His last college football game was the Army-Navy game back in 2016. Stayed even after he stopped calling college football. He stayed with CBS for college basketball broadcast the next 2 years, retired from that role prior to the 2018 men's NCAA tournament due to back surgery. And because his body was breaking down a little bit, he is 83 years old. He's making the call from the shorter tower on 16 for yesterday and today. But he is so well-respected. Jim Nantz, lead host for the Masters on CBS, and he's been Lundquist, you know, partner for 37 years now, and he said his calls are truly legendary. You can just see the respect that the guys that work with Vern have for him. So hats off to Vern Lundquist.
And one little tidbit that people might not realize out there is most of the time you're hearing commentators, like especially on the Masters app, the 4, 5, and 6, Scott Verplank, they're in the content center. They're not actually in the towers on those certain holes. Vern was in the content center on Thursday and Friday, but by a special request, Vern said, "I want to be in the tower on the weekend at Augusta National." Like you just said, it's not the big tower. It'll be the smaller tower on 16 tomorrow as well. But Dad, I was just going to let you talk about the content center for 2 seconds, because I don't think a lot of people even realize that that's even different than the massive mansion that is the media center, correct?
That is definitely correct. And we do want to mention with Vern, we got to say, I mean, you can't talk about Vern Lundquist without mentioning the call for Jack Nicklaus.
The Tiger chip-in, right? No.
Yeah, well,
talk about yes, sir.
The old people, yeah. Maybe, yes, sir, and Vern admitted.
No, I'm just messing with you.
You know, he didn't say maybe until the ball was about a foot from the cup and he knew it was going in. But it was a legendary call. Maybe, yes, sir, that guys that are out playing golf with their buddies even today will use for a 15, 20-foot putt. Maybe, yes, sir. And then, yeah, the call with Tiger, 2005.
In your life.
Have, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. And then he said, in your life, have you seen anything like that? Legendary calls from one of the greats. Uncle Vern, they call him. Vern Lundquist.
No doubt. And I was watching, they did a great documentary this morning on the 2019 Masters, where obviously Tiger made the great comeback and won. And Tiger hits that shot that looks like it might even go in the hole on 16. And Vern said that's the only time in his whole career that he's been speechless. And after the ball came to a rest, he said, I am compelled to say, oh, my goodness. T-Dub, I mean, no one better than Vern Lundquist, and what a heck of a career.
He's definitely going to be missed calling some of the most iconic golf shots that we've ever seen. You think about it, too, not just all the other sports that he's done, but calling Jack's putt in 86 and then 2005, 2019 Masters, those are, I mean, I think everyone would say 86 and 19 are head-to-head with which 1A, 1B, which one's the best Masters. So having iconic calls in arguably the two best golf tournaments that have ever been played, that is the definition of legendary right there.
Legendary and a little lucky to be in that position, right?
At the right place at the right time,
right
for
place
sure.
At the right time, for sure. All right, fellas, the time has come. I am sticking with the guy I picked before the golf tournament. I know I went chalk, but I'm still going chalk. I got Scottie Scheffler tomorrow. T-Dub, who do you got?
Nothing has changed since we started recording earlier this week. On Monday, Sam had Scottie Scheffler. Then I'm going to have Scottie Scheffler now. And until I see him have a longer stretch of golf like he did on 10 and 11 when he went double bogey, bogey, I am going to still pick him to win this tournament because he is just head and shoulders right now the best player in the world.
Dad, who you got?
I know I said this morning I'd gone with Scotty. Okay. I'll stick with Scotty, but I'm going to be pulling for Homa or Oberg to do something special in front of him. I just got a feeling that we're going to see something special tomorrow, and it might come out of that next last group.
First timer hasn't won it since Fuzzy in 79?
Nine.
79. Yeah. That would be amazing if Oberg or Nikolai Højgaard would be able to get the job done. That does it for us tonight. Dad, thank you. We will be back in the morning again at 9 a.m. to preview the final round here on 98.1 FM WWLS, the Sports Animal on the 73rd Hole Radio Show, sponsored by Enjoy Vision. T-Dub, thank you as always. You will be here in the morning as well. This is Sam Humphreys signing off on this Masters Saturday evening here on Oklahoma's leader in golf, the 73rd Hole Radio Show.